Welcome to the Gonzo.moe Newsbroom. I'm JP, joined as always by Kyle and Vinny. How are you doing, Kyle?
I'm having a great anime morning.
How about you, Vinny?
I'm having a good anime afternoon.
Yeah.
Damn, I got really called out. I'm not recording from the past.
Yeah? Oh, well, did you both just
apparently
say...
Apparently it's the afternoon. I didn't know we were being all fancy.
Yeah, that's fair. It is Easter. We are all... Apparently we don't have friends or family because we're recording this on Easter. I forgot that this Sunday was Easter when I texted both of you last night. Like, hey, if you have like stuff to do, my bad. But apparently we
stuff
all...
Stuff I have to do is clean my apartment because I'm getting the landlord coming in to replace the windows on Tuesday, so...
No worries. No religious, things to do. No affiliation. So I'm okay.
Yeah. Vinny did have to make a pie, so we started late. I'm still waiting to hear if we get to eat some of said pie.
If you can be in Columbia Heights around 5:30, yes.
Okay. That's going to be difficult to swing. It's about 1:30 right now, but, you know, anything is possible on this.
You're going with the time zone, so you'll get a little advantage.
Oh, that's fair. He is an hour behind me. But if I go to Minnesota, I lose that hour. Anyway, this is the News Broom. We are stalling because there's not a lot of news this week. We record this every Sunday at 1 p.m. It comes out on Mondays at 2 p.m. Eastern is both of those time zones. It used to be on WJMOE Radio, but that is dead now because Shoutcast decided that I was not worth the hassle for my $25 a month. That died last Friday, I believed. We do this every week. It is a rundown of the previous week's news. Most of it's Anime News Network. If it isn't, we will usually say where it comes from. You can find all the stories we talk about in the show notes. You can find this and other podcasts in Spotify's podcast directory, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. I believe it's like the last 25 or 50 episodes. So anything before that, you can find at gonzo.moe. And if you want to leave a voicemail, you can do it at 716-46-MOE-43. That is 716-466-6343. I guess that's all the stalling we can do at the top of the hour, so let's get to it.
Where are the demons? Bring on the pain!
I like that I said top of the hour. Like, this is some live show that's airing exactly at, you know, the top of an hour. So,
you know, if you want to recreate it, viewers, you can just start it at the top of any hour of your choosing. There's 24 of them.
Yeah.
And traffic and weather at the eights.
Viewers? I guess they
listeners.
Could,
I don't know, man.
They could try to watch the podcast. I guess technically the album artwork does show up in most podcatchers now. So you could look at that. The first piece of news we have is about Spy Family. This is a very popular manga. I know for a decent amount of time it was ranking pretty high on bestseller lists. I don't know if we were checking them at the time. This might have been before you two joined as well because, you know, it's been Chainsaw Man and Jujutsu Kaisen for a long time. But my understanding was like New York Times bestsellers list, stuff like that. Spy Family was always ranking very high. And same with like popularity contests for Shonen Jump. So the anime finally came out. Vinny, you're watching this?
I am watching it, yeah.
How did you read the manga?
Nope, I have not. But I heard from people who I trust that I would like it.
How's that going?
Good. Where episode 2 is out today. I've enjoyed what I've seen. Pretty fun. I recommend
a lot
if you like sort of it's kind of on the comedy side so far.
All right. And this is, I don't know anything about Spy Family. What's it about?
So premise of what I know so far is a man is a spy, has to go in and infiltrate this country and like prevent an assassination or something. And he has to do that. Part of what he has to do is get connected to someone who works at the school. Easy way to do that is to have a child in the school. So he adopts a girl who we find out is telepathic in the first episode.
Nice.
But she's also like really into spy stuff. Like she watches like a spy TV show and is like really into that. And she's kind of like knows what's going on. Episode 2, which I watched this morning, he has to find a wife for the interview for the school. So he eventually finds a woman who is an assassin in that country, and she is using that cover to get close to someone who she has to assassinate.
Nice. How does he find these? Does he just like put a Craigslist post up, like looking for an assassin to pretend to be my wife?
No, I don't. He doesn't know she's an assassin so far.
Well, that's a good.
It's like the Mr. and Mrs. Smith kind of deal.
Yeah,
it's a nice coincidence. I believe they're rebooting that series. Also, anyway,
is that a series?
Mr. and Mrs. Smith. It was a movie. I think TV show's in production. If that's not public knowledge, you did not hear that on this podcast.
Roger.
So, Spy Family did very well in its initial.
This is a Wikipedia article, so it's not your fault.
The first episode had a 3.1% rating, and to put that number into context, I went into the Anime News Network forums. Apparently, One Piece usually gets around 3.0, and they have a better time slot. I guess One Piece airs Sunday mornings. The things I copy-pasted in our news feed are inaccurate. Later down in the forum, someone's like, actually, it airs on Sunday in the morning. But Spy Family, I believe, is a, I don't know what day of the week, but it's an 11 p.m. Airing, so a 3.1.
Yeah, that's not the best time slot.
Yeah, a lot of anime runs at night. A lot of the stuff that we tend to watch over here. And
it's the best late-night time slot, for sure, but it's still a late-night time slot.
But that's very good for late night. So, you know,
this maybe a sign that is this only streaming on is this only a television release in Japan, or is this a streaming title in Japan as well?
That I don't know. I know it's streaming here.
I wonder if
this
is a sign, you know, because obviously it's streaming only here, but I wonder if this is maybe just like one of those, hey, maybe like if this is just like a bad number straight across, or if this is just like people are getting it in other ways.
No, this is a good number. This is a very good number. Maybe I misspoke. This number is in parity, is that the right word? Maybe in relation to One Piece's ratings, with One Piece having a better time slot. So this is excellent. And somebody said it's not Demon Slayer numbers, but it's still very, very good.
Good on them.
I believe the English dub premiered on Twitch I didn't write the date down, probably last week sometime.
Twitch premiere.
It's interesting that it premiered on Twitch. I don't know if Crunchyroll's done that in the past. But, you know, a lot of people are talking about Spy Family. And it's not all good. This next story was a listener-submitted story from my friend Zan, who runs the Spyrican Manga Review podcast, longtime friend of the podcast. Apparently, there was some weird, possibly troll controversy. Somebody posted a seemingly innocent clip of the show of the main character lifting the young girl up in the air, as you know, commonly would do with a kid. And somebody said, I hate how they sexualize the little girl in this show. And a lot of people think that this was just like trying to bait people into getting mad because the clip, there's nothing sexual about it. I don't know if either of you saw any of this discourse.
I saw the clip. It seems ridiculous. Like, I understand that in anime, a lot of times when a character does blush, there is some kind of like feeling there, but it's not necessarily romantic. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like a blush can mean a lot of things.
Oh yeah, like, they were really saying that her blushing meant that it was a sexual thing.
Like she does blush. Like, they're not wrong in like what is literally happening, but I think you have to really twist the reading this early to say, oh, it's sexualizing her. Like, he lifts her up and she feels joy and she blushes. Like, that isn't inherently sexual. It's like that joke about like, man, these people asking questions that my shirt is answering the question, you know, the mm-hmm. shirt is answering for. Like, you have to be intentionally looking at this in terms, like, if you were looking at this, like, you could read it, but you have to be like bringing that reading to it. I don't think the reading in and of itself, mm-hmm. of course, I'm not saying that it won't sexualize her in the future. I can't, you know, unfortunately, anime and like does do that sometimes, and it's not great when it happens, but it's a bad faith reading right now.
Well, some people think this is a joke post to get people like us to talk about it on their podcast.
Yeah.
Vinny, you're watching the show. Is there fan service of any kind in it so far?
So far, no. And I haven't heard anyone say anything that it goes that way. And then, you know, this to me reads purely as someone's making a joke that someone took seriously.
Yeah, I was going, if I had more time, I was going to look at the usual angry YouTube shout men to see if they made videos about it. But I woke up late, and also I don't need that in my life.
Could just be a stupid Twitter post, though. And later down in the post, it has the person being like, this isn't a joke. I'm being serious. People get out of my mentions.
Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, weird story there. And it also, you know, what happens a lot with things like that is even if this person was 100% sincere, oftentimes Twitter posts and TikTok posts get misrepresented as the opinion of an entire fandom. Like I remember... when Uzaki-chan wants to hang out, there was so many like angry YouTube posts and Twitter conversations about like one person on Twitter that's like, I think she looks too young. And it's like, she's what, 23 in that show, I think. And just all these, there was tons of YouTube videos of like, America thinks that Uzaki-chan is for pedophiles. Like nobody said that, just one person on Twitter, Jesus Christ. And this seems to be one of those again. Anyway, on to some more unsettling news. So the director, Sion Sono, are either of you familiar with this person's work? Suicide Club, Noriko's Dinner Table, Love Exposure, probably the biggest films.
Yeah, I think he's also, am I correct in thinking he's the one behind those, is he the one Cut of the Dead guy?
I don't think so.
I don't know. I just know these three. It's not... it's definitely possible. I didn't look at the entire list. So the director was accused of
Wrong, by the record. Ignore that.
Copy that. The director was accused of using his position of power to coerce sexual favors from, you know, actors, saying like, oh, I'll give you a part in my movie. He's claiming it's untrue. It sounds like there is a potential court case in the works. This was the first I'd heard of this, and it's, I don't know if this was like, you know, a story we missed in the past, because it sounds like it's escalating to potential legal outlets. I don't know how to word that. Are either of you familiar with this story outside of just this posting?
I am, because it's been a thing that's been kind of going around on Twitter, because recently there was a big, like, Twitter post from a Japanese actor talking about like the problems of, and he does tweets in English and Japanese, and he tweeted about this a lot, and it's been kind of going through from Twitter because Sion Sono, he did a movie called like One Cut of the Dead. It's Why Don't We Play in Hell, I think it's called, and he's kind of been a growing influence, just like a big figure, right? Like he's not necessarily up there with like Hirokazu Koreeda, but he's one of the more prominent Japanese directors right now. Mm-hmm. And so him being identified is not minor because especially a lot of his, you know, like he kind of does, some of his films are very schlocky, right? Like kind of in with a more niche crowd. Crowd. And this is not the greatest news. I will say that this has garnered some support from the Japanese side, and that I believe a letter was written, and like people like Hirokazu Koreeda signed on to it, and other directors. And
in which direction, for him or against him?
Oh, against it. They're like, basically, you know, like we do not want sexual predators in our industry. And Sion Sono is one of the newer people brought into the American, you know, Academy.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes, he's a part of the American Academy. And I believe that as a response, like this, these allegations came out. And I believe that our side, one of the guilds wrote a letter that's like, we do not stand for this. We've seen much slower movement on the Japanese side, mm-hmm. in terms of like actual, you know, like maybe people not getting work. I believe that some events were canceled and kind of like immediate work. Mm-hmm. I mean, let's be honest, these allegations are pretty deep, and I believe that even some men have come out to corroborate it, which is not to say that like the women shouldn't be trusted, but like this is multiple sources. I feel like him getting legal, like that's, I don't have much faith that like the women will get justice, unfortunately.
Yeah, usually these stories, it makes me worried. Don't end well for the victims.
So I'm really hopeful that they do get some justice out of this, but it's not necessarily looking great if he is going to like go at this with I feel like he might be, he's coming from a position of power for certain. So
it, the story did not surprise me considering how disturbing his films are. Noriko's dinner table made me very, very uncomfortable. And it reminds me of the, it's like a meme of Cannibal Corpse. It's like all these songs like, I have guns, I use them for killing people. And it's like Cannibal Corpse singer found with guns. Like, who could have, you know, imagined that this would happen? Anyway.
Yeah.
Shueisha removed a manga, a web manga, about, my understanding of this is that it's about, like, kids being indoctrinated into religions. I haven't read the manga, and it sounds like I won't be able to because it was pulled off of their website. People are saying that it's because of the happy science cult in Japan, but nobody is outwardly saying it, probably for fear of backlash. And even, you know, the cult, I think the reason why everyone's pointing to them is that on their website or their PR person said somewhere, it was like, yeah, we heard of this manga, we don't like it, but, you know, I think we can all agree that they did this on their own. All right.
Yeah, it sounds very much like a mafia kind of move. Like, they made a choice. I wasn't a part of it. It's like, sure you didn't.
But I mean, this,
it's really fucked up.
If you know, if you replace Happy Time with Scientology, you'd get the same exact story in the U.S.
Yeah.
It's also just fucked up as someone who, I mean, I was, the story, so it's not about like being indoctrinated as in like they're targeting kids. It's more like I was born into this religion. And so this person was writing the story very much like at least the first one from their perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just really gross, like what Shueisha, because it sounds like they kind of did this out of fear to start off with. And then as the mangaka raised questions, they were kind of like, Shueisha didn't have an answer for them because they were figuring it out. And by the time that they kind of realized that maybe they fucked up, they were already like too deep into it. So it's like, it's really stupid because she apparently did research and they're like, oh, you need to do more research. And she asked like, well, how many people do I have to interview before like you'll give me the okay? You know what I mean? Like if this is just five people's experience, is that not enough? Like, does it have to be 10? Does it have to be 20? Like this happened, you know what I mean? Like it's just so weird. It's a real like a free speech problem is what this is.
What's interesting is if I use the word indoctrination, because I assumed if this, you know, organization had a problem, maybe it was painting them in a negative light. If it's just about,
well, it's about different organizations. So each manga was going to be about a different religious organization.
Got it.
It wasn't even focused on one. And, you know, as someone who, I was raised Mormon by my family and I got out, and that was a whole lot. I would hate it if I was trying to tell my story or, you know, with the help of someone else and the magazine got cold feet because they were afraid of pissing off Mormons.
Yeah. So it's an unfortunate situation. The creator, did I put their name in here? I'm not sure if I did, but the manga that they would be best known for is A Life Turned Upside Down. My Dad's an Alcoholic. I believe that has a English release because I'm pretty sure I've seen that in stores, unless I'm confusing it with another story.
My name is Mariko Kikuchi.
So Crunchyroll is dubbing a shitload of anime. I'm not going to read all of these because there's like 25 or 30 titles. But it looks like it's, you know, it's probably just about everything they're releasing for the spring season. And in multiple languages,
that's what's more impressive than the amount of titles, I think.
Like, oh, yeah.
What? It's English, Spanish, Brazilian Portuguese, French, German, Russian, Latin American Spanish. Like, the list goes on. And not every title is, of course, getting translated into all of those languages. Mm-hmm. But in terms of just the sheer breadth, this is not, this is a very wide net.
I'm wondering how they determine which languages they assign to each production. Like maybe it just is the license that they have, or maybe there's like somebody who's, I'm sure there's somebody whose job it is to determine which regions are going to perform, a title would perform better in. But this is just a bigger version of what Crunchyroll has been doing for a while, is starting to do, more outside of just English language dubs. They've been available on their website for some time, and it seems that that's just going to keep going. And hopefully this it just adds more fuel to the, we need some fucking unionization in all of this, because like, this is not like, God, this is probably at least 50 productions, 50 to 100 productions if you count every single language. I didn't count them, but you know, if it's 30 shows times whatever. That's not cheap, and that's not an easy, you know, that's not something that some mom and pop anime dubbing organization is doing.
We should also point out that you know, Funimation is doing no dubs. This is really the bulk of the dubs for this season.
Well, my understanding of this whole merger is that they phased Funimation out, so it's probably a lot of the same staff doing it, unless I'm misunderstanding what's going on.
I'd imagine so. So I guess he's, I mean, some of them are even like follow-up seasons, or like, so it's the like Love Live 4 season 2 is in there.
Was Crunchyroll even dubbing stuff before they were bought by Funny?
Yeah, they've been doing international dubs for a while.
Like, English dubs, or is that like,
English?
Is that new?
English and international.
Okay.
Because like Tokyo Revengers was a Crunchyroll production that had at least three other languages that it was dubbed into. This was a problem that we talked about, or this is related to a problem that we talked about a few episodes ago, where all of the dubs get counted towards a single episode count. So it'll say like Tokyo Revengers, 170 episodes. Like, well, damn. It's just 24 times, you know, however many dubs there are. This also, you know, because we talked, I think, last week about how they were going to do less remote dubs or try to stop them altogether. This type of workload means that they're still going to have to outsource dubs. So, you know, those individual studios aren't necessarily all going to ban remote recording. Some manga is going to be starting in Shonen Jump Plus. We have Marriage Toxin, which is about professional killers, swindlers, and the best troubled marriage hunters in the world. We have a manga version of the Bubble film that is coming out at the end of this month, and then a manga about a theater ensemble drama called Camila Curtain. So if you have the Shonen Jump app, look forward to those coming out soon. This next one's pretty cool. So did either of you contribute to the Dirty Pair Kickstarter a couple months ago?
I did.
I wanted to, but I'm definitely keeping an eye on it. I'll probably grab it when it's widely available.
So Right Stuff / Nozomi Entertainment recently revealed that they found the long-lost M&E tracks. And I think we've talked about M&E on here before. It's the music and effects track. It's how you make international language audio. Because, you know, if the original track, you know, if the original dialogue, the effects, and the music are all one track, you can't replace anything. And I didn't know this, but I guess the Dirty Pair OVA, when it was first brought over here, they couldn't find the M&E, and so ADV just made their own music and effects track with, like, original music and, you know, their own sound design. And Right Stuff found the original files or original tape or whatever, you know, the master was printed on. And so they're going to be adding that to their release as well as the ADV mix that was on there. So that's pretty cool news. We don't get, I wonder if it says that the, oh yeah, it says also just the M&E track will be available on the disc. So that's cool. That doesn't happen very often. I think
that's very rare.
Maddox, the Maddox release that is still impending is going to have it. And I think maybe there was like a Lupin release at one point that did it. I can't think of many situations where this happens.
Like you said, it'll be cool. I mean, it opens the door if someone does want to do their own dub, but personally, I would love to make a silent version cut of it.
Yeah. So
with, you know, just taking out, you know, adding in dialogue cards, you know, I would love it.
Nice. Oh, I see what you're okay. I thought you like you could
legitimately make a silent film version of all of these films. It wouldn't take that long.
That would be funny. Retro Crush has added a lot of stuff. I don't think we are going to go through all of them. They added a bunch of live-action things. Some of the notable ones, Hideaki Anno, a two-part documentary series.
It's really exciting. I've been really wanting to watch that, and I'm happy that it's in such like an easy place now.
Was this the one that came out at the same time as the last movie?
Correct.
Got it. There also, there's a live action Thus Spoke Kishibe Rohan, that's part of the JoJo's universe. Itazura no Kiss, that's a name I haven't heard in ages. Kimi wa Peto is another one. That was like one of the first podcasts I ever listened to did a review of that live action series. I guess it shouldn't surprise me that these are all old school because it is called Retro Crush.
But don't forget the coolest one. They're actually bringing over they're streaming Zyrum 2.
Oh, yeah.
Which is that crazy Japanese movie series. I think there's an anime too, but it has the craziest like production design. It's wild.
Did I not add that to the list?
Yeah, it's on there. It's the second one.
Oh, there it is.
Yeah, and this is big because this is like the first time they're doing like live action stuff on Retro Crush. So,
yeah, cool. I also wonder. This is just complete conjecture. I wonder if any of these could potentially be titles that Discotech's looking at for their new thing.
Oh yeah,
and if it's just showing, you know, because I'm not. This is again conjecture, but a lot of time Discotech, before a title gets announced physically, they'll like put it on a streaming service somewhere. I'm not saying all of these are Discotech, but they did announce that new label.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that is Nihon, going to be focusing on stuff like this. Nihon I would Knights. Love it if any of these things they were looking at.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a good sign that these things are available to get.
Yeah.
It's always been interesting to me that Japanese live action didn't get the same love that anime did. A lot of companies have tried it, and technically, Funimation, now Crunchyroll, has some live-action stuff on their streaming. They just never advertise it. And they have
those rights holders. They're not as nice as Korean rights holders, which like actively wanted that stuff to be available. Mm-hmm. Whereas in Japan, they were just like, "Nah, we're okay. We'd rather have control over it."
They also added a bunch of anime. Notable ones to me is House of Five Leaves, which is one of the, I don't know, maybe five things ever where I was sent a screener copy to review.
Oh, back from when NIS was doing anime.
Yes, I got that through Anime 3000. The review is not up anymore because I think that website is down. But what else was on here? Ristorante Paradiso from the same creator. I never saw the show, but I assume that it's probably pretty good because everything Natsume Ono does is excellent. And then also Bunny Drop, which is like
great show. Yeah, it's a great show.
Great show with an like, evil
I still don't like
ending.
To support it.
Yeah, it's such a shim sham because it's presented as this like sweetness and lightning kind of cute dad daughter type show. And apparently in the manga, they get married in the end. But that is the anime doesn't go that far, right?
I think that the anime ends with like it doesn't go beyond the. There's no time lapse, right? Like yeah. We just end with it as her as a kid still.
If you just watch the anime and assume that's the ending, it's beautiful.
I have it. I've never watched beyond like the second episode.
I'd also want to point out the Genji Monogatari because that was Osamu Dezaki's last production.
Oh, nice.
Before he passed away. And that's, I think, never been released here.
Right. Yeah, the Tale of Genji. I love that.
This next one is a follow-up in some way to something we talked about, I think, last week, that Lupin the Third Part 6 was going to Adult Swim / Toonami, and we were talking like, has anybody seen the dub? Has the dub come out? And if I'm understanding this correctly, it was premiering on Toonami, and it will be hitting High Dive shortly after. So
got it.
Get your Lupin dubs over at High Dive, I guess. The next story we have, I thought was pretty funny. I have not seen Pompo the Cinephile yet, but apparently one of the characters in there does a Fortnite dance, and the director didn't realize that it was a Fortnite dance. They were like making a reference to a Japanese band called Da Pump. And the clip is very, very funny. I guess it's getting a laugh from, you know, like at American screenings, everyone's laughing at this moment, which maybe not supposed to be funny. I don't know if either of you watched the clip.
You know, it is a Fortnite reference, but like, I think it originally is a Japanese video. So it's kind of, you know, like Americans kind of not getting the mm-hmm. joke.
Well, a lot of those dances, I watched this video saying like the origin of all the Fortnite taunts, and it seems that a lot of them were taken from other sources without permission. So,
right. But it's a lot like, I mean, let's put it this way. There's this thing called time, people. things that come later are not, you know, like they're not the first thing, and you can't go back and be like, oh, you know what I mean? So this is, it's funny because apparently the song itself is called USA mm-hmm. and it was big in Japan, and then it became a reference in the USA. So like, this really is just like time is a flat circle.
Speaking of time, Dragon Ball Super Super Hero has been rescheduled for June 11th. Originally it was going to come out, ooh, what is today? Today's the 17th. It was going to come out next week, originally.
This Friday.
This is the aftermath of the Toei animation hack. So, you know, I guess it's still happening. It's just being delayed a couple months. Shine On Bakumatsu Boys is an anime I've never heard of, unless I've talked about it on the show and blanked it out of my mind. But it has a July 8th premiere. And I mostly
doesn't look great.
I put it on here because I watched this trailer and it looks like it was made in 2002.
Yeah. And the I really don't like the design of it, but also the camera's really close on those characters. They're not animating very much. I hope that it's just because it's a teaser, but if the series looks like this,
I might almost watch it because it looks so bad.
I mean, that. Yeah.
This is an extreme example, but it reminded me of like Samurai Deeper Kyo with just how poorly it looked. It doesn't look that bad, but it looks like an early 2000s like DigiPaint show with just like the panning and how the character designs look, and oof, not great. Good news for Ink. I don't know if Ink listens to this show, but I know Ink really likes Chihaya Furu. The manga was originally supposed to end with its 49th volume. It is getting one more volume because I guess there's just not enough time to finish the story in just one more. Or in the original schedule. Anyways. What'd you say?
Ending 50, that's a good round number, 50, right? Like, that's a better spot than 49.
That's a lot of manga. Like, I'm remembering that show coming out like when I was in the early years of doing podcasting in like 2008, 2009, I imagine the manga started even earlier than that. It would have had to.
So, but I mean, it's the series that keeps on kicking. I just hope that it gets, I would really like to finish it in anime form, mm-hmm. but there's no guarantees. I just don't want to, because I would have to start from the manga from the beginning. I just hope we get a fourth and conclusion season.
Is the manga available in English?
Yes.
I don't know how far they are, though, because it wasn't available for a long time, but I think it's begun to be like brought over.
Nice. In my dress-up darling news, we have a couple of them. The ending theme song has, the music video for that is streamed over 7 million times, and it's pretty good. The music video isn't like the most spectacular thing I've ever seen, but I like the production design, and I'm a big fan of this song. It kind of gives off a vibe of like the anime endings that I would hear in stuff when I was back in high school. I don't know if either of you are watching My Dress Up Darling, but the ending song slaps, to put it lightly. And this was the debut of a TikTok personality named Akari Akase. So if you're a fan of that series and that song, I would recommend checking out the music video. It's a good time.
Up to volume 31 of Chihaya Furu is available.
Oh, that's not bad.
Comixology.
Wow.
For fans of isekai, great news. There's going to be a whole ass manga magazine devoted to isekai. It is called New Young Kings Lambda Isekai.
And great. If I see something in that magazine, I can skip it.
Yeah, that's fair. Or Young King Lambda, sorry. And that will launch. It sounds like it's a digital manga periodical launching at the end of May, probably in Japanese. But, you know, I imagine some of those series will eventually make it outside of Japan, as they tend to do.
It's just really bothersome because I'm not against the idea of isekai, but like the sheer amount of them, it means that each one will be like, it'll be like, I don't know. It's like if you had a recipe for a pie or like, you know, something that you would bake and you went like, I added my own little touch to the recipe. It said add like a teaspoon of vanilla, but I added a tablespoon of vanilla. Like, and then bam, isekai. Like that's what each isekai is that nowadays it'll be like, okay, like I'm a sad loser boy who was reborn into a godlike body. But my whole shtick is this. I'm left-handed. That's my whole thing. And you just go like, are you serious?
Well, the title will be like, I'm a sad loser boy who was born left-handed in another world.
Yeah, no, like in this world, being left-handed makes me a god amongst men. What about you, loser boy, right hand? Like that's kind of what, you know what I mean? It's really sad. I have no hope.
We're going to get this manga.
Oh, no.
Yep.
It's interesting how long the isekai bubble has lasted. I feel like we're going on over 10 years at this point, because a lot of people attribute Sword Art Online as starting it. That was like 2010.
What's even funnier is later on, I was reading through the manga anime because I had enough time to read through like all of the... Normally when I'm going through these articles, I skip over like individual anime and manga.
Yeah.
There's one isekai right now that the whole premise is a guy was reborn, blah, blah, blah. But his superpower is he got to bring his smartphone with him.
I can't wait to tell you about that. That's two stories up. But first,
yes, you'll have to tell me all about it.
We have to talk more about My Dress Up Darling. This is one of my favorite things that keeps getting followed up.
Recurring bits.
My Dress Up Darling adds 2.5 million copies in circulation since the anime's premiere. Except what they really did was they just added another 0.5 million for a total of 6 million. But like every 3 months, they put out the same press release and just add another 500,000. It's great.
Yeah. You know, good for that internet, like Young Gun Gun, that keeps having to do that. He's remembering to get like more focus on this thing.
Well, and it gets published every single time, so they're doing something right. But Kyle wants to talk about In Another World with My Smartphone. I watched the first half of the first season. It's getting another season.
Enlighten me.
It came out in 2017. So you would think, based on that title, that his superpower is that he got to bring his smartphone to another world. But no, his superpower is that he can do whatever the fuck he wants, and he's a genius at everything, and he just happens to also have a smartphone.
I hate everything you just said. Like, what?
He shows up, this is all from memory, but I remember he shows up in this other world and sees somebody do magic, and he's like, holy shit, magic exists here? And they're like, yeah, you just, I don't know, think about it, and you can do magic. And then he instantly becomes an expert at magic. It is incredible. Every episode is like that. I think at one point, he goes to visit a king just to say, like, hey, what's up? And he says, you know what? I like the cut of your jib. You want to marry my daughter and be, like, the heir of the kingdom? It's outrageous. So we get more of that. The forum response, the first, there's like four pages. I thought, wow, did people really like this show? And all the responses are, why are they making more of this?
You know what? That at least gladdens my heart. you can dress it up, but it's still shit.
Yeah. It makes me want to go back and finish season one.
Why?
Because it was funny. Not funny in like a... It wasn't funny in the way that they intended, but it was like funny to me that this exists and got made and passed QC and someone got paid for this, probably still a very poor wage knowing the anime industry, but that anyone got paid at all to make this was just like, I was like meta watching it.
Then hit the art. Like, this is like weirdly horny art. I really, I don't even like it.
Yeah, it's a horny show, and it's terrible. But
it also looks a lot like Kirito. So, yep, lay this all at the feet of Sword Art Online.
This is a strange story up next. Former editor-in-chief Takanori Ichihara, with the editor-in-chief for Shonen Sunday, has resigned to write manga. And you got to wonder first why, but also they mentioned that he is the second, he had the second longest tenure at this magazine. 6 years or however long, 6 years and 3 months is not that long. It makes me wonder what is going on at this magazine.
Well, I mean, I think that manga editors just wear themselves out. That's a crazy high, a hard job. I think in terms of like, because remember, you have to work with the artists. And so it must mean a lot of like late nights, like late nights. And I mean, I'm not an expert on the manga scene, but I'm sure, especially when he got started, because it says the longest running person was a guy named Kazuka Tanaka, and his record is 8 years.
Yeah.
But like, you know, if you're working with mangakas in like weekly manga, that means like you have your own. I mean, he was the editor-in-chief overseeing everybody, but that must be just like a nightmare job in terms of having a personal life or being able to sleep.
Speaking of manga and late novels, Yen Press has announced several new titles that they have licensed. It sounds like a lot of these announcements came out of SakuraCon. I didn't realize there was a convention this weekend. So they have the Demon Sword Master of Excalibur Academy. Arya sometimes hides her feelings in Russian.
That actually sounds like a good idea. I like this one. I read through all of these and I only like three of them. And this is one.
God's Game We Play. Apparently Disillusioned Adventurers Will Save the World. King's Proposal. Touring After the Apocalypse and The Gay Who Turned Kaiju.
Yeah.
King's Proposal, I think, got mentioned in the forum a lot. So maybe that's like one of the bigger titles out of that group. But who knows?
Well, it's from the same people who did Date Alive.
There you go. Detective Conan, every time Discotech does a panel, everyone asks, tell us how Detective Conan is doing. Now, this obviously is Japanese numbers, so it's no indication of how it's doing in America, but it's still a good sign. The 25th Detective Conan film earned 24% more than the previous record holder, which it looks like was only a couple films prior.
I wonder if they wrote this article just because it's 25, 24, 23 in the title. Literally, I wonder if that's why someone was like, you know what? We have to write up an article.
Yeah, that's fair. I've been meaning to get back into Detective Conan for a long time. I really liked it when it was on Adult Swim, but I was just working too much, so I couldn't tune in every night.
How deep have you guys gotten into Detective Conan?
Maybe 20 episodes, not very far at all.
I watched a bunch when it was on Cartoon Network, and then maybe 10 episodes when Crunchyroll started airing new ones.
Oh, I've been curious because I've been thinking about watching it as I'm waiting for One Piece to finish with its arc before I get back into it. And I'm, you know, thought, hey, what do I have need a life for? Why not pick up Detective Conan? But how much of it is like serialized story, you know, like as in like telling an actual continuing narrative versus like standalone story, like, you know what I mean? How is it?
There isn't much that connects story to story. I think most of it's two-parters, so you can pretty much jump in anytime.
Wow.
I plan to watch some of the movies, honestly, to like, because I know those are usually also standalone and pretty good. Like the first one I enjoy a lot. When those were on Hulu a number of years ago now.
Got it. So it's much more like Lupin than it is One Piece.
Yes. Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Conan's been like 10 years old for 20 years. So the story doesn't really move along. And it's bad guy of the week kind of stuff.
Yeah, if he aged, it'd be Master Keaton by now, not Detective Conan.
Yeah, that's fair. Demon Slayer fans, I'm sure there's at least one that listens to this podcast. The next arc, the Swordsmith Village arc, has had a preview. And yeah, it's just showing the sword guy making a sword. It's not not super exciting, but I guess it's more confirmation that more Demon Slayer's coming out. We already knew that was going to happen. But if you want to watch that teaser, it is out now. There's still no release date for this season. There's not much after this. I've read the manga. If I'm remembering correctly, there's maybe two more arcs after this. Because I, from my recollection, I read this maybe a year and a half ago. It's a pretty short arc, and it's a lot of training. So, but then the final battle is definitely on the horizon. And that'll be interesting to see. It was difficult to read in the manga because it was just like four volumes of action, and I had trouble following along. Crunchyroll streaming Yuri Deco. This is the Sainsaru anime that we have been talking about for several weeks now. They announced that they are going to be streaming that at SakuraCon, as well as Classroom of the Elite 2 and Harem in the Labyrinth of Another World. And Lucy,
I have to say, just really quick, that they keep on giving more information on the Yuri Deco show, and the more they keep on giving, the less I want to watch this show.
Yeah?
It sounds awful. I can only speak for myself.
What? Because we talked about the story a few weeks ago. What's pushing you the other direction?
I mean, can I just read this?
Sure.
And then you guys can respond honestly. From Sainsaru comes an original story based on the adventures of Huckleberry Finn. The story begins when Barry, an average girl from an average home, meets Hack, a girl who looks like a boy. Charmed, Barry meets up with a team Hack leads, the Ghost Detectives Club. Members of this club are socially dead, working invisibly within the digitally controlled society of Tom Sawyer. As she works with the group, Barry learns about Zero, a mysterious figure who lurks within Tom Sawyer's underground. She and Hack decide to chase down this figure, and in time, the truth behind the city is revealed.
That doesn't sound awesome.
It could, you know.
Does that sound like, firstly, does that sound anything like Huckleberry Finn or Tom Sawyer?
No, it does not.
I wait for the entire season. They're just on a barge going down a river and meet a Duke and a Dauphin.
It's just like, I like read the description and then I look at what they're writing and I'm sorry, guys, I'm not seeing it. And the visuals aren't telling me either. It's a lot.
You know, that's
going to give it a college try when it comes out.
I like the art style and I like the teasers that I've seen, but as you read that description, it makes me wonder if this is how, you know, people in other countries feel when we just handpick certain things about their culture and like just put them together into some nonsense.
You know, I mean, Americans have fucked up Huckleberry Finn enough, so let other countries try it too.
Right. I mean, to be fair, this is better than having like, oh God. You know what? Maybe I'm thinking about like a straight anime adaptation of Huck Finn, and maybe we don't need that either. So
that's fair. Maybe we could get an anime version of Tom Sawyer by Rush. Anyway, our last piece of news. And then we're going to have to stall for a while. Lucifer and Biscuit Hammer. This was a long-awaited anime. It was on a lot of people's wish list and, you know, their swan song. Not swan song. White Rabbit? What is the phrase I'm looking for? Things that they never thought was going to happen.
I usually go with like a Grail show or something like that.
Holy Grail. There it is. So it has a release date-ish. July is when it's coming out. And that's pretty dope. Sounds like a lot of people are excited for this. I'm trying to see if it says when in July.
Have you guys read the manga?
Nope.
I want to now.
I only bring it up because the description makes it sound like a Japanese manga version of Green Lantern.
Nice.
It says that a lizard showed up and asked him to help save the world. The next thing he knows, he's been given a ring and special powers. I mean, that just sounds like Green Lantern.
Yeah, I've seen a couple panels of it. I saw like the first panel where the lizard is like, "Hey, what's up? I'm here to help you save the world. I think they throw the lizard out the window. I think that's how the manga starts.
Oh, it's not like a lizard dude. It's just like a lizard.
It's an iguana, I believe.
You know what I mean? Like, it's not like a lizard. Oh, yeah. Thing.
Yeah,
it's probably just like an anime lizard.
Yes.
Yep.
Did the manga come out outside of Japan? I'm wondering, like, can I go to the store and buy this? Do either of you know?
The answer is yes, it came out outside of Japan. No, you cannot. It's been out of print for a while.
Nice. Oh, yeah, it says Seven Seas.
Does Crunchyroll also publish it digitally? Do they still have it?
I
don't think Crunchyroll still does manga.
Yeah, they do still do manga. We talked about them licensing manga just a couple weeks ago.
They might have it, but nobody knows because nobody knows what Crunchyroll is doing with the manga. Got it.
Yeah, I don't know what Crunchyroll's doing, period. I keep getting emails saying that I'm double paying for Crunchyroll, and I'm almost certain that I'm not, because when I log on to Crunchyroll, it asks me if I want to subscribe. So maybe those are scam emails that I'm getting, and I should probably call my bank. So we have some Toonami ratings. For the first time, we don't have to like rush through them at lightning speed. It seems like Shenmue is doing well for them. It did have lower ratings this week, but I think it's doing a lot better than Black Lotus. So Shenmue this past week, we always do them not the day before we record, but the previous week. It had 199,000. They were down 52,000. Attack on Titan had 160,000, down 15,000 from the previous week. Assassination Classroom jumped up by 14,000 at 175,000 viewers. Made in Abyss also had a jump, 17,000. They had 17,000 up with 156,000 viewers. And this blank hour or blank half hour, I don't know what that means. Maybe it was a double week for Made in Abyss and it had the same numbers. I don't ask questions. I don't stay up late enough to watch Toonami.
These numbers just make it seem like they should be premiering their big stuff on Sunday. Like, it seems like Sunday's their big day and Saturday is not great for them.
Yeah. That's
literally mean. Even Fire Force at 2 a.m. has more than Shenmue at like the prime time midnight slot.
Oh, you're missing.
Check the year, Kyle.
Yeah, you're misreading this.
Okay, wow. Okay, yeah. I understand now.
This is a comparison of last year around the same weekend.
I literally thought this whole, like, okay, this is going to sound really bad. We've been doing this segment for weeks. This entire time, I thought they were Saturday, Sunday ratings.
That's incredible. That would,
this entire time.
That would be dope if we had 2 days of Toonami. Not that I'm watching it anyway, but it would give me more of an incentive to subscribe to Sling TV and watch Adult Swim, because having it for only 1 week of shows was just not, I mean, it's like $45 a month.
And it's that's really bad.
Service.
Yikes.
But, I remember, I talk about this all the time. When I got into anime, there was like Inuyasha on every night. Every night I was watching Adult Swim. And now it's once a week and it starts at midnight. Now, granted, if I still lived in Minnesota, it would be starting at 11, but I'm fairly certain it still started earlier back then. I remember anime starting at 10, but I may be wrong.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is, now that I understand what we're talking about for the first time, apparently, knock on wood.
It's still.
I think this is just a problem of like, cable is now where shows go to die.
Well, I mean, we talked about this maybe 2 months ago. Adult Swim / Toonami, I think, does better than their daytime programming. It's still taken a pretty big hit. When you look at previous years, I mean, their 12 o'clock slot last year around the same weekend was, 162,000 more people. And their 3 a.m. slot was, almost 70,000 more people watching. So it is declining. But I think compared to, Teen Titans All Day, people actually watch Toonami and Adult Swim. It would be interesting to see what the numbers were back at their, what I consider the golden age of anime on TV. It was probably millions of people, would be my guess.
Oh, had to have been. At least, like, you know, much better numbers than this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, because they also had Tech TV aired anime at the same time, so it must have been enough people watching to merit competing blocks. But not enough, because eventually Toonami got thrown onto Saturdays, and then it just shortened the block every year. Not a good time. Anyway, so we'll take a look at our top 10 best-selling. The Blu-rays, we got Lupin the Third, Part 1, Blu-ray at number 10. That is down 6 spots. Darkstalkers OVA at number 9. Children Who Chase Lost Voices at number 8. I assume this is the new G-Kids release, I hope. Yes, it says it's a pre-order. Belle is at number 7. Princess Mononoke Steelbook at number 6. Project Eiko is at number 5. That jumped 3 spots. 5 Centimeters Per Second at number 4. Place Promise in our early days at number 3. So all of those Shinkai films are ranking this week. Urusei Yatsura Alum the Forever at number 2. And then Fate Grand Order the Movie is at number 1. I thought that was Claymore or Moribito at first and was like, oh, that's a weird one. And then I scrolled up.
I think we need to read
and...
the whole title of this film.
Yeah?
That's Fate Grand Order the Movie, Divine Realm of the Round Table, Camelot, Paladin, Agaterum.
Holy shit. Imagine if they made you say that whole title in the box office when you're ordering your ticket.
I would.
How do I know which Fate Grand Order movie you're going to see? I believe, oh God, I don't know why I'm blanking out. I feel like I go Blu-ray, manga, DVD. That's what I'm doing.
Yes.
Yeah. So we got our top 10 manga. Chainsaw Man Volume 7 at number 10, Volume 6 at number 9, 8 at number 8. Jujutsu Kaisen 2 at 7, number 4 at 6. The Demon Slayer box set is at number 5. And I wonder if this includes everything. I don't know if I've ever checked. So that's like 25. Oh, yeah, it does. It's all 23 volumes of the manga. Jesus Christ. That is, what do I have?
The manga done?
Yes. Done? Yeah, the manga's done.
So wow.
$160. My understanding is that it didn't really get popular until its final arc, because that's when the anime came out. Chainsaw Man Volume 9 is at number 4. Jujutsu Kaisen Volume 15 at number 3. Spy Family Number 7 is at number 2. And then Chainsaw Man 10 is at number 1. I wonder what it is that like specifically makes the volumes rank where they do. Just like the Jujutsu Kaisen stuff, it's like 2, 4, and 15. That's interesting. And then finally, our DVDs. We have Gunbuster 2, DVD 3 at number 10, Vampire Princess Mew, DVD 2 at number 9, Demon Prince Enma, DVD 1 at number 8, Vampire Princess Mew, DVD 1 at number 7, Gunbuster 2, DVD 1 at number 6, Gantz Season 2 specifically at number 5, Blue Gender Complete Series Plus Movie at number 4, Bubblegum Crash at number 3, 80 Police Files at number 2, and then Ghost Stories still at number 1. So that is that's what we got for the news this week. This is the News Broom. We talk about all the stories from the previous week. You can find all of the links to these stories in the show notes. You can also find our Twitter handles if you want to follow us on Twitter. You can find this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify. I believe it's like the first 25 or so episodes are on there. If you want more than that, you can go to gonzo.moe and you can find everything we've ever done. I think that's something like 60 podcasts. It's both more and less than I thought that I've done since moving. But we do the show every Sunday at 1 p.m. and it comes out every Monday at 2 p.m. And you can leave us voicemails at 716-46-MOE-43, 716-466-6343. I've run out of things to say. Do either of you have anything we can stall with?
I refuse to believe more than one person bought those Vampire Princess Miyu DVDs. I want to test out and just start buying like single specific DVDs from Right Stuff.
Yeah.
Just see if they just show up on the top 10.
I mean, the DVDs probably sell so few that, you know, one of us could tilt the scale. Then there'd be a conflict of interest. We'd have to tell everybody.
Well, that's just new reporting. It's research.
Yeah.
we're reporting on how to affect the top 10 list for DVDs.
Anyway, thank you everybody for listening. Tell all your friends probably, and stop buying DVDs. Anyway, we'll see you next time. Cheers.